Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez and Willie Cantu. And we've, on this Sunday, April the 28th, 2024, we're closing up on Fiesta Week. And we've got some stuff to talk about. Willie, tell the folks hello.
Hey, everyone. Glad to be here again and looking forward to another informative show.
Yeah. And boy, do we have some things to talk about.
Don't we all?
We do. I mean, geez, they seem to be, the issues seem to be surfacing. Let's put it in those terms. Anybody you want to say a shout out to, Willie?
Well, just it's Fiesta time, and I went to one event, NIOS, and saw a bunch of good friends, and not just personal friends, but a lot of good former co-workers of the San Antonio Police Department. And this is the last night, where it's Sunday evening at 9 o'clock. This is the last night of Fiesta. And of course, the worst event of Fiesta, or event, there used to be events, but Market Square, which starts first, is and this is the last night of it, so it ends last. And they've had a rough time in that event, and I'm not sure of the other places, but I haven't heard of any fatalities or too many injuries coming from it, and I want to give them a shout out for doing the best that they could with the numbers they have. I'm here, they're hearing that they're low staffed as usual. It's happened, but you know, even lower nowadays. But just want to let them know that we appreciate what they're doing and putting their lives in on the line and being away from their families when they should be with them, because a lot of them work on their days off. So
it's amazing.
Appreciate it, folks.
Yep. You know, I talked to some of the officers, and the amount of overtime that they are working right now, it is, I mean, the amount of time that they are working beyond what their regular hours, it's amazing. Speaking of Market Square, let's start right there, because last night on Saturday, the 27th, there was a shootout. Two individuals began shooting at each other. And then, of course, the police had to respond. And it ended up with some injuries and two deaths. Now, what's interesting to me, Willie, as you and I have discussed this morning, was that these two individuals showed up with guns and ready to shoot it out in the middle of Market Square, where there is clearly a police presence. What are your thoughts on that?
There's a lot to talk about with that, because there's so many things that we can break down with it. Like I said, the Market Square is now one of the worst events for criminality and lots of law breaking going on, lots of drunks and fights and things like that. And it begins first. Back in the day when I was there, the carnival was just across the street from the old police station off of West Nueva, 200 block of West Nueva. So they both would start at the same time, and they were both rough. Lots of fights going on. You got kicked out of, we kick people out of one event. They just go across the intersection to another event, you know, until eventually they couldn't do any more there. But I believe the Market now is officially entered like the worst event of Fiesta. But what makes it pretty bad is that it's free. There's no entrance where you pay at a gate or anything. There's no accountability. No one checks you out. No one, you know, watches you or anything like that. You just come in all different ways. Beer and wine and stuff is sold everywhere. You know, they do have good food. Used to like going there during the day, would stay overnight. If you've seen latest TikTok videos, which you can see anywhere now online, they'll show videos of the crowds, and they are just packed. And that's hard for the officers to watch everybody. And what I'm hearing also is that the department and the number of officers working down there in all Fiesta events are very low staff. And a lot of it is due to the things you and I have talked about, you know, and being afraid of, you know, getting in trouble with the department, this DA, just, you know, things like that. Again, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole that we've done before, but The shooting happened, and I was trying to, I kept watching the video, going back, trying to figure out where exactly in the market it worked, or it happened. Because I have worked the Market Square event several times myself. And what I found shocking for myself and with my experience is that it looks like it occurred right off of Dolorosa Street, just east of the Michera parking lot entrance. As you go north in that alleyway towards the kind of the center of the Market Square. And on the right side is La Margarita, and on the left side is the building that Michera's restaurant is. There are just some shops there. So what that tells me is that area right there is not hidden or out of the way. That's right in the almost right in the center of the Market Square. And there's a lot of patrons, obviously, and there's a lot of cops. So for these two, and I want to say kids, one of them was 18. So these two guys, these two crooks, to have a shootout right there tells me they just don't care. Because in the day, they used to go somewhere off the beaten path, as far away from the police as possible, so they can do what they need to do to each other and get away from, you know, easily from the police. But this just tells me they don't care that the police are there. And I'm hearing that one of them was shot by a police officer. I don't know, you know, if all the details are still kind of sketchy right now, but I keep hearing that more and more, because the story in the news did say that there were two officers that fired back.
And, you know, again, the audacity, the sheer nerve of individuals shooting it out in a crowd. I mean, and those bullets are going to go anywhere or everywhere. And I don't know, folks, this is something that we need to worry about. This is something that needs to be brought to the attention of the city leaders, because these people are not afraid anymore. They're not afraid. It's not the gunfight at OK Corral where, you know, at least they took each other. These characters went to a private area. No, this is right in the middle of Market Square. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, we can say also, George, that, because, you know, we've been all over the DA and his lack of enforcement, of law enforcement. But one of the persons killed was an 18-year-old who was arrested April 10th. By the Central Police
Another
Department.
Repeat offender.
Oh, very much so. He is the one that had been hit in the rim in La Quintera really hard on car burglaries. And there's pictures of him in social media with a whole bunch of guns, because he's probably one of those guys that only targeted vehicles that he might think had a gun and only take guns from those vehicles. So I would pretty much bet 100% that this guy had a gun on him that night. His mama is crying on Facebook about the loss of her son, and you know that is sad in a sense. But this guy, since after that arrest on April 10th, a good parent would put him on lockdown, don't you think? He'd, yes. He'd be like grounded for almost. You know what I mean? It's not like, well, go ahead, mijo, go have a good time at Fiesta, because it's Fiesta, you can't miss out. but that is part of the problem as well. But this guy is a repeat offender. He also had a felony warrant for theft of a firearm at the time, and another burglary vehicle warrant. So he was wanted as it was. I don't know much about the other one. I don't know a name. I saw a picture, but he didn't look, you know, they looked like birds of a feather. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, why was he out? Was he on monitor? You know, was he on pretrial release? These things that we keep hearing about, you know, certain crooks that are out there continuing their lawlessness. Why was he out in public, period?
Exactly.
You know, well, and again, why was he armed?
It's amazing. Let's circle on over to our main discussion, because here we go again with the DA. Somebody clearly that should be punished, prosecuted, but is loose. And, you know, what is going to be done or said about this character? Because, I mean, there was a lot of outcry when these characters were targeting police officers. Now here they go, and it's very obvious that they're targeting each other as well as a clear danger to the public. There was an article this past week regarding an officer, an SAPD officer, who called for backup because he found, he was able to locate a felon, a dangerous felon, and he called for backup. Apparently he's part of a task force, I believe it is, that works with the DA. But then there was no response. And walk us through that, because here we go, a dangerous criminal out there, and an officer in potential danger, and the DA's office doesn't seem to respond. What are your thoughts?
Just to, you know, be correct on there, because you and I talked about this several days, and in between we talked about so many other things. So,
yes,
I don't.
Give us the facts here.
So this was the U.S. Marshals Task Force, the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force, and they have what we call TFOs, Tango Foxtrot Ocean Task Force officers. And what I've learned is this guy is someone that I used to work with on the SAPD, who was working with them as a task force officer for the SAPD a few years ago. And as we know, these guys, they're feds, you know, and if you're from a local department like the SAPD, you get deputized as a fed, you know, so you have their powers of arrest to work with them. So if they're going after, and they have a criteria for the suspects they go after. They don't go after misdemeanors. They're not looking for traffic warrants. They are going after violent felony criminals, felonious criminals.
Serious criminals.
Yes, serious felony warrants, and that they are violent, mind you. So anytime they call, obviously they've got a good team that will be able to track these people down, because they are hard to track down. You got to find them. They go into hiding. And then once they locate them and they want to arrest them in whatever plan that they have, whether it be an entry or a takedown, you know, as they walk out of somewhere, or, you know, a pin in a vehicle, things like that, they only have so many guys available to them. And just depending on what they're going to do, they're going to need some help. So, and they go all over the state, mind you. Actually, and there's different groups. So these are the Lone Star guys. So they go all over Texas, mind you. And they solicit the help of the local law enforcement authorities there. And SAPD is one of them. Now, mind you, when I was there, and like I've said, it's been almost 2 years I've been retired. But even before that, and I don't know exactly how, I've been at least a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years before I retired, the SAPD officers and us, because I was in covert, or ROPE, were restricted to assisting them in any other capacity than to be like perimeter. Like if they were short a team member and they were like, hey man, we need, you know, an extra body. And, you know, I was on the SWAT team. I've done training with the marshals, and they could probably use me. I couldn't work with them because the chief explicitly said that we could not do that other than perimeter. And that was due to a shooting that occurred, and that's a longer story, where the chief just, you know, got fed up with the shooting and the shootings that they'd been involved in at the time. So what it looks like is one of the members of the task force called they have a special response unit at Bexar County. And I had been solicited there for a little bit to train them, but we couldn't get anything going. It was, you know, they didn't have the time. I didn't have the time. We were still, the work was in progress. And so and the reason they solicited me was because they were running into some pretty hairy situations, mind you. You know, they were doing knock and announces. No one can do no knock warrants anymore. I think the feds can. I don't know, but you know, maybe those guys can. I don't know, but so they have a group of tactical guys, and so this task force, Lone Star Fugitive Task Force, maybe a deputy is what we call them, called them for assistance, and this guy on that unit called his superiors to ask for permission because he just couldn't make the decision himself. And he got no response from, I think, at least two people. And so he wrote a memo. And I think what happened was he got frustrated, you know, that no one's taking this seriously. And he's probably just, you know, because he wanted to go help them and just got frustrated and was asked to be removed from that special response team. And that was the story, mind you. And of course, when they started questioning him, because this person still, and I don't know who this guy is, this person's still employed. Well, now that it's out that he really didn't want to say or give any statement to the media, you know, of any further details of that, because he can get in trouble. You know what I mean?
He probably is in trouble at this point.
He probably is. Yeah, he probably is, because they know who it is. I mean, and they state, you know, he's probably, well, you want to be removed? Well, we're going to remove you. We might remove you permanently from the whole department. You know what I mean? Because it made them look bad. And of course, he threatened a lawsuit, understanding, and it's understandable what he's doing, because he didn't want that to get out. But what it was kind of, to me, construed as, and I think to you as well, was that once again, they mentioned not wanting to help units like that because of the political ramifications. And we all know that the DA's office is all about the politics going on now. They are not about public safety at all. They're about doing the bidding of the Wren Collective. And the Wren Collective's agenda is to keep minorities out of jail. So how would you do any kind of law enforcement if you're going to end up putting some minority in jail?
Right.
And you know, it's plain and simple. It's not an assumption on my part.
No, it's fact. They have stated it. They have stated it.
Yeah. The other thing they haven't stated, George, is what can we do? Who can we enforce the law on? Of course, they don't want to say that because they'll probably say only white people. Because that would be huge news. But, you know, we're in a city that's predominantly minority. So who are you going to enforce the law on?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Right. So they give guidance on what not to do, but they don't give you any kind of guidance on what to do. And that's what I believe that story was about, that this person honorably was frustrated of not being able to do the job he signed up to do. Because what he felt like was like, well, we just do enough, okay? We have this title, but we just do enough to show people that we're worthy of the time that was spent doing it. But we don't want you to do too much, because it's then we're going to be in trouble by the leftists for putting people in jail.
I agree 100%. This whole situation, and we're seeing it everywhere. I mean, we're seeing it in New York, we're seeing it in Los Angeles, we're seeing it all over the place, where these George Soros DAs are more interested in the liberal politics, in applying liberal politics, social justice as they call it, than in enforcing the law. And it's creating crime waves. It's creating absolute crime waves. I mean, it's we've got the situation where you have the DA in Alameda County, that's which is Oakland, who's being criticized. We've got Gascon in Los Angeles who's being criticized. We've got the guy in Austin in Travis County, who is on the verge of being removed by the
attorney
general.
Let's talk about Alameda County. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, talk to us. Tell us about that.
I'm trying to look up. I had it and I intended to talk about it at some point, whether it be you and I or my own podcast. But that is exactly the epitome of why we are short on police officers and having a hard time recruiting, and why so many of them are leaving, because you have this Soros bought VA. I believe her last name is Price.
Yes, Pamela Price.
Pamela Price, a black female, who one story said that because she is in danger of being recalled for not doing her job like they're all, just like, you know, let them go, Joe, just like Jose Garza, who is being recalled up in Austin, she decides to have, and they have these BS offices within their office, these units, what they call them. Ours is the Civil Rights Division, right? She has a public accountability office. You know, they're aptly named, you know, some crap, and appear like they're really working hard for people's rights. Well, all they are headhunters for law enforcement. They went back 6 years on these officers, three of them, one who's moved on to another department since then, who were cleared in this in custody death of what looked like a homeless man, whom the ME ruled his death as him. And here's the other thing: I think it was in Colorado, certain departments have banned the use of using the terms excited delirium. They have banned that. Like, you can't use that excuse anymore.
Now, what does that mean, excited delirium?
What happens is that these, and I'm no doctors, you know, but what happens is that these people are so amped up on dope, and it's usually speed. So this guy had methamphetamines in his system. George Floyd, he had methamphetamine and fentanyl. So his body didn't know what the hell to do. He didn't know whether to go up or be down, because one's an upper and the other one's a downer, you know? So this dude's body is just jacked, you know? And this other guy, so when they're amped up on methamphetamine, speed is what they call it, their heart rate is excessive. You know, they're like way ahead in time. There was a joke that this guy's, he's already in the next week. That's how far ahead his, you know, his mind is moving, you know, speed. So this guy's up on it. So once he gets into a physical altercation and his adrenaline starts flowing, just like, you know, our anybody in any kind of physical exertion, and then your body is not in the shape to handle the physical exertion, much less physical exertion with speed behind it, it shuts down. It can bust your heart. You know, it has all kinds of ramifications there. And that's what his death was ruled. I don't think they ruled exactly excited delirium, but they used kind of a description rather than that label on it. And of course, what does she do? Because she's a leftist, they go find some ME to go back and then rule otherwise.
A medical examiner. The medical examiner.
Right. A medical examiner, ME, yeah, that he died of asphyxiation.
Ah, here we go again.
Yes, here we go again.
I can't breathe.
Yeah. And if you watch the video, which I did, I took the time to watch it, these guys were really careful, and you can hear them talking. Their tone of voice, they're really trying to help this guy out. They're being kind to him the whole time. This guy, he resisted them. No strikes were thrown at all. They had tasers. They didn't tase him. They didn't use pepper spray. They just laid him down, and they were trying to get his arms behind him. And you could hear them talking about trying not to put their weight on him.
But again, he's fighting. He's fighting and resisting. Yeah,
and he's fighting. And you can hear, if you just listen to it, and some people probably can't stomach it, but you can just listen to him. You can hear him fighting it. And you know, things are going on. And lots of people have died that way. It's even before all this crap.
Yeah, which is always very interesting to me, Willie, is what is a police officer supposed to do when somebody is out of control? Out of their mind and out of control. What are they supposed to do? Especially
at this point, let them get up and run across the street and get creamed by a car.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I'm yet to see that, because no one wants to see that and go, well, hey, you know, I didn't want to lay out my weight on him and have him die of,
I didn't want to restrain him.
Yeah, and be accused of asphyxiation is what's going on here. So I let him up, and hey, I can't hold him, you know, and stop him. He ran into the street and got hit by a car. So am I in trouble for that too? Yeah, because it's still called an in custody death. You know, they have that ruling when you chase a vehicle, you're trying to pull over, don't even know who it is, and they crash out. It's an in custody death. Well, you know, the whole reason I was chasing him was because he wasn't in custody. If he was in custody, I wouldn't be chasing him. So how the hell do you label this in custody? You know, and it's ridiculous how the administrators do this stuff with them. But that's Alameda County. And she's brought this back from the dead, pretty much, and which wants to show the leftists that she cares about minorities and trying to convict the big bad policeman. So the two officers that are still employed there, they're on admin leave, sitting at a desk. The other guys, as of the story said, they didn't know what his status was at the time. He's probably on admin duty as well.
Yep.
The paid vacation that, you know, Jalen McKee Rodriguez thinks, you know, that these guys are like, hey, I don't need to work the streets. I'm going to Disneyland, you know.
All right. You know, it is just insane how the lack of support that these DAs give, whether it's the one here in San Antonio, in Bexar County, whose people are not responding or not reacting or not supporting the police officer as in the issue in the incident that we just talked about, or in Alameda County, you know, where they go headhunting to divert, to move away. I mean, there's so many ways that these people are twisting the law and catching the police officers. Well, not catching, but attacking the police officers.
Well, you have to think, why that case?
Yeah.
Who said specifically that one? Or did she just make that up? Because usually these cases that go, like the one that I work on here in San Antonio with the two street crimes officers, that was politically pushed by someone in their family that had connections with Black Lives Matter. And that is no doubt. Mm-hmm. I had a name for the guy too, and I can't remember it. But, you know, he was in the news and all of a sudden he disappeared. But he's the one that pushed that. So someone had to push this guy to bring it out. And to me, what's going to happen is, obviously he's 6 years old, they were already cleared, all that is going to come out, and they're probably going to be cleared again. But until that goes, that case is finalized, goes to court if it has to or whatever, these officers' lives are on hold, and they're stressed. They may be fired, then they'll have to find another job to feed their families. And the whole time they're under stress, wondering if they can trust the justice system to exonerate them. Exactly. Or is the justice system going to do like they did in George Floyd, is make examples out of them, political prisoners out of them,
yep,
to prove a point.
Yep. Let's, we need to conclude, but what should we leave the audience with in our discussion tonight regarding this nasty situation where this officer here in town was left hanging, and then this one here with the Alameda County DA digging up old dirt.
It comes back to what I've said, and it may sound like a joke, but it's not. Quit voting Democrats into public office.
Amen.
They do not have the character to be involved in public safety at all. They can't. They've already proven it. They've gone way overboard. They used to kind of hide it pretty well, but they don't want to have anything to do with it. And they still can't come up with solutions.
No.
Well, we want to, you know, it's like it's like your water pipe burst because of the hard water. But we're not going to fix it until we determine why you have such hard water. That's what these leftists do. We know we have high crime, but we need to figure out why these people commit crimes. Okay, but in the meantime, while they're committing crimes, who's going to stop them?
What do you do in the meantime?
What do you do? And that's the leftist Democrat way.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, okay. And they still, well, tell me how long it's going to take for you to determine. Give me a date when we can start seeing, you know, this stuff start working. They can't give it to you because it'll take forever. What? No one's been working on the issues with crime since, hell, before you and I were born?
Yep.
This whole time? I'm sure they have been, but we need to get these people out of office.
It really is crazy how they keep asking for police to be restrained, but they never turn around and tell their own community to tell their criminals that live among them to restrain themselves.
100%. But a lot of them, they're just birds of a feather. That, you know, they protect them and then they feel sorry for them. You know, yeah. ACT4SA, Ananda Thomas, she's African-American. Theo Clark, African-American. So she doesn't want to point the finger at her own race for being criminals.
Well, especially if you're racist.
Yeah, yeah, especially to each other. They're killing each other more is what it is.
Exactly.
But she doesn't want to point the finger at them and tell them to stop. It's all the police fault for stopping them. And then possibly injuring them or killing them when they're trying to stop them and enforce the law.
I'm sorry. I can't help but laugh. I'm sorry. I just can't. I mean, the stupidity.
I'm not going to cry about it.
The stupidity of this whole situation is the thing that gets me.
And they still give her credence.
Yep. It's like a Saturday Night Live.
If they try to, let's say, come up with a solution at the Market Square, how do we fix the crime at the Market Square? Don't you think they're going to bring that idiot and our organization in to ask them for advice?
Yes, exactly. Give us some advice. Tell us. Give us community input. And then they'll say, well, what if we release...
Well, not more police.
Yeah. Fewer police, more counselors, and release the prisoners.
Right. Jeez. So back to your question, George. It is not a joke. It's not being me being a smartass. It is... the only way. Quit voting these people in.
Exactly.
Because if you replace, you know, Ron Nuremberg with another Democrat, like they did in Chicago.
Yeah, same story.
Same story.
Different verse, same story.
Yep.
Buddy, we're going to have to close up. But once again, my friends, we've been chatting with our good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, law enforcement expert. And I can very honestly say good friend now. And he is on fire. He tells it like it is. Willie, tell the folks good night and leave them with a good thought.
A good thought.
How about don't vote for Democrats?
You agree with that one, George.
Don't vote for Democrats. How about that one?
Don't vote for Democrats. And I'm going to steal Bob Barker's line. Spay and neuter your pets. I appreciate y'all listening.
You
really do. And we love the feedback. We want more feedback.
Yes.
We see it. We hear it personally out there. But, you know, whether it be negative, but at least constructive.
Yes.
But you just want to be a fool. You're just a fool. So, but we do appreciate y'all listening.
Yes, we sure do. My friends, once again, George Rodriguez and Willie Cantu talking to you from San Antonio. Join us again next week when we'll... sit and chat a little bit more about the reality of law enforcement. Thank you very much.